Okay, let's get into Meseches Peah Yerushalmi Daf Chaf Tes, the 29th day in here in Meseches Peah. We have the schus of learning Yerushalmi, Talmud Yerushalmi, in Meseches Peah in the third parak. This Meseches Shiurim are sponsored anonymously in honor of their parents and with immense gratitude to the OU for their work in all aspects of Jewish life. So we are going to start on the top of Chaf Tes and Aleph, where the Gemara comments on the Mishnah. Just one ha'ara from yesterday that I ran out of time. We mentioned that there was a question about the Gersos. Right, we quoted a brisa that somebody has five vines and he harvests them and he brings them all into his house. And we mentioned the lamaskana. It might depend if he's doing it for grapes or he's doing it for wine. Wine is a more chashav type of ksira. If he's just doing it for grapes, it's not. And there might be a difference between whether they're ripe or not. That was the stira between Rabbi Yossi and the Braisa. But there was a girsa here that if somebody does that, and maybe it might not be called a ksira because it's not really for a significant product, it's just for the grapes, so then they'll be pater from some of the mitzvahs, from peret and from ololos. But also on the girsa that we had was from Arla and Ravai. And we mentioned that in Dosefta, that comes out. Because what do you mean you're putter from Arla? Arla shouldn't make a difference. Arla is the first year, 3 years of the fruit. It's asr bahana. You're not allowed to get any benefit from it. So why should that depend about how you cut it or not? And Ravai also, the fourth year fruit, which often goes with Arla. So just, again, we're going to have a whole Masechta called Masechas Arla a little bit later on in Israel. But just 2 points. The Ramban discusses on the pasuk about Arla and Kedoshim, the messages of Arla. The messages of Arla, and he quotes the Rambam, who he argues with in terms of what the message. So he quotes the Rambam and the Mor Nevuchim. The Rambam and the Mor Nevuchim in the third parak discusses many of the Tamei HaMitzvos, and many of them the Rambam has as anti-Avodah Zarah. Many, many mitzvos. The Rambam describes how they are anti-Avodah Zarah, including the Isser of cutting off one's payas, and in the whole base of Karbanos, if you remember, the Ramban makes a tumult about that at the beginning of Vayikra. But there are, in Kedoshim here, he says, he quotes from the Rambam and the Mor Nevuchim, Kitamo Berov HaMitzvos. Like he says it many times, Ki Hayula Chartumim Valamachashvim Bizmanahu Mine Kishuf. Because in those days, earlier days, they were magicians that used certain type of black magic and dark side powers in order to help the trees grow quicker, help the fruit grow faster. Yasu osam beisa tias ilanos v'yachshavu ki bahem yemayr ha'ilan lahotzi piryo kodem zmano hayadua b'minhago shalolem. If I use these incantations and these powers of magic, I can make the fruit grow faster than it's supposed to grow. Ubevo, and when that fruit comes very quickly, I'm going to offer that fruit to my God. Ubevo yakrivu as a pri lefnei ha'avodes gililim sha'asu bishma hakishuf hahu. That's what the Torah says. Not only are you not allowed to make it faster, but the first 3 years of the fruit are off limits to distance ourselves from that type of behavior. Anything before 3 years, you're not touching. So you don't come to do these ma'asim. Put it on a list. Another siyag daraisa. You can't, but again, the Rambam has many mitzvahs like this. You can't, this mitzvah is about preventing avodah zarah. So here too, you can't have the first 2 years of the fruit, so you don't come to use dark side forces in order to have it come quicker. Ki robe ho'ilonos if you appear with shana rovias. Because most trees bring fruit in the fourth year. Interesting, the Rambam, in general, by all of these averas of Ov and Yidoni and all these other black magic powers, the Rambam says by all of them, they're foolish and they don't accomplish anything. And it's also just because you're involved in silly activities. The Ramban acknowledges the power of these forces and says you can't be involved in them. That's in general. But the Rambam here seems to say that they use some type of power, or at least they like to think of it. But either way, that's the Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim. The Ramban, though, before that, he has his own pshat. V'tama mitzvah azos, he says, this is connected. Arla is really connected to Ravai. Right, the fourth year fruit. That's really where it flows from. L'chabed as Hashem me'reishis kol tfuaseinu, mi'priya eitz u'tfuas hakerem. The whole purpose is, we want to give Hashem the first. The problem is, the first isn't usually the best, unless you wait a couple of years until it gets big. By the fourth year, the fruits then are going to be nice and plump and juicy. So those I'm going to give to Hashem. Before that, it's not really so great, the fruit. So what, I'm going to give some of these inferior you know, types of fruit to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the first ones? No. We delay it so that we can bring the fourth year ones to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So as a function of that, we have to aser the 3 years before that. That's the Ramban. It's very little. It's not such superior fruit. The first 3 years, it's not so great. And most aren't even going to give fruit till the fourth year. So we wait by all of them. Hashem will mention this again often when we get to those mesechtas of Maaser Sheni, which talks about Ravai and Arla, but this is the Ramban. And then he adds, V'amitzvah zoz dome l'mitzvah habikurim. Says the Ramban, Arla is like Bikurim. Why is Arla like Bikurim? It's the opposite. Right? Bikurim is a mitzvah. Arla is an iser. No, because Arla is a function of Ravai. And Ravai is like Bikurim. The Emes HaDavar Od, Ki Apri B'Tchilat HaTiyas Hilados Rav Alachos Davek, and he quotes the earlier fruit are damaging and not healthy. It's not good. It's like eating a little fish. Okay. And the Ramban says that's why Hashem asers fruit that are bad for your soul, bad for your goof. Okay. That's the Ramban here in Kedosha. Arla, unlike the many of the other mitzvahs of Tullius Baretz are really tali. Are they daraisa today, derabanan today? So many are derabanan today. Many mitzvahs of Tullius Baretz are derabanan today. Shemitah is a big discussion about how many Jews are in Eretz Yisrael, and the Chumas and Maisras could be a derabanan for various reasons. But Arla, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch has a submit about Arla. Right? Arla applies even in Chutz La'aretz. Right? That's a din based on Mesechas Kedushin. The Shulchan Aruch says, Arla noheges, b'chol makom u'v'chol zman, bein b'shel obed kochavim, bein b'shel Yisrael. Wow, right, it applies. If I know for sure that a goy planted somewhere in the middle of nowhere, out in the world, and I know that's Arla, it's Usher, maybe Daraisa. Ela, sheberet Yisrael, himen ha-Torah b'chutz la'aretz, halacha Moshe B'Sinai. And the Gemara there in Kedushin talks about the different levels of what the difference is between Arlas Chutz La'aretz and Arlas Eretz Yisrael in terms of how I'm allowed to be Noheg. The Shulchan Aruch says Safik Arla Eretz Yisrael is Aser because we treat it as a Safik Daraisa. Bizman Azeh. Shulchan Aruch is a Bizman Azeh. Safik Arla Eretz Yisrael are Aser, B'Chutz La'aretz Mutter, V'Chulu. And he continues. A whole simon about the Arla here, by the Shem, that we'll have to get to. That simon Reish Tzadi Dalid in Yaradea. Okay, so that's just a little bit about Arla that we didn't get to. So now let's get to the top of today's daf. Hamedo. So the Mishnah had said yesterday that if somebody has overstuffed areas of fruit or vines, I'm just going to pick some out, kind of like pruning. I'm going to make it less so that the rest of it could grow better. So do I have to give payah from what I cut? So Hamedil, no semenamishuar, amashashier, vechulu. The Mishnah said no. The Mishnah said you do not have to give payah from what you cut. That's not called a harvest. That's not called a ketzira. So the Gemara says two limits on that limitation. Tani, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Bamed Ramurim, when do we say that by Medil, if somebody is thinning their harvest, and that's where they're cutting it, when do you not have to give payah and not look at that as a ketzira b'meidah l'shuk? If you're going to take those fruit that you cut, you know, to lighten up the load of what's left, and you're going to sell it right away. You're not keeping it, you're not storing it. You're going to sell it right away, you're going to bring it to the shuk. Because then, it's clear that you have no other interest in this. Right? You're just getting rid of it right away. And why are you bringing it to the shuk? Why, you're going to throw it out. So you don't want to throw it out and get nothing from it, so you'll bring it to the shuk and you'll sell it there. Avo b'meidah l'bayis, but what if your kavana is to thin it out so whatever is left grows better, but you're taking it home. You're taking it home and you're going to use it for snacks the next week. Right? So then the Gemara says, no seven amishur ala kol. Then you have to give payah for that. Because obviously you have another kavana in mind too. Let's say you wouldn't bring this home and use it as snacks. You'd have to bring other fruit as snacks. You'll have to get something else to substitute. So it's clear you also have that kavana, and therefore it is called a ketzira. If you look in the Gra says, Avo meidah l'bayis, pirish, Oz chashiva v'havei ketzira. Right, if you're bringing it home, so then it's called a harvest. De'ilo havi hanach, because if you wouldn't have these, hayetzorach liksaracher lebayis, you'd have to bring others. You'd have to eat, you have to substitute others to snack on. So you see, if you're going to bring it home, so that is a type of kavana that is then called a ksira. That's one limit from Rabbi Yehuda. Then we have another limit from Reb Zeira. Amar Reb Zeira, hada de tema, when do we say that it is, if you are meidol, then it's not chayiv? When do you say that? Bishaiba amanas lahadel, when you overplanted originally, knowing that you are going to have to take some out. Iba for the word like aveh, thick. Right, you made it very thick and you made it overplanted. Amanas meaning you never had in mind that you're gonna, this is gonna be part of your harvest. Right, you originally started. See the marafolda. Kisheiba, shezaron ritzufim, amanas lehidel. You knew this at the beginning. This is what you were gonna do. Avalim iba, amanashalo lahadel. Lo lahadel. If you planted it originally, you didn't have in mind lahadel. You had in mind maybe you were planting a lot, but maybe you were hoping that they were all going to grow well. But then you change your mind. You see that, you know, that it's getting overcrowded here, so I'm going to take some out. So, no, you can't change that. Lo sof davar lebeso. Not only if you would take it to your house, as we just said, you're going to have to give paya from that. El afilu lashuk nosin min hamashur al hakol. You're going to have to give paya for everything. Because the second that you plant it, almanas, that you're going to use it as a regular harvest, so then you've given it the status of ochel. You've given it the status of being, you're right, the chiyuv of peah didn't kick in yet. Because the chiyuv of peah, as we remember, we said, is only when you harvest. But here you see, the kavana when you plant also plays a role. Right, when you planted it, if you had in mind that you're going to try to use all of this, even if later on you decided I'm going to be meidel some of it, that is not going to change your kavana. If you look in the Ras Sirlio, he uses a magical word here, which we'll talk about for 2 minutes. Says the Ras Sirlio, Iva Mnashal Lohadel, Elo Lakaiman Kane. You didn't have in mind to take him out. You had in mind to keep him in the ground and use it for harvest. Ach Shevinhu Uchla. You were just machshivit. You, in your mind, gave it significance as a food. And v'nimlach achagach larvichon, so then afterwards you change your mind to leave it to make some space, you can't change that. That's the principle of ach shevinhu. Ach shevinhu comes up various different areas where something inherently might not be chashuv, might not be significant, but because of my mindset, I make it chashuv. And that itself gives it gives it power, right? This is how some achronim, the Chacham Tzvi, explains the concept of chatzi shir. I didn't bring it, but chatzi shir. We know chatzi shir is usher min haTorah. We pass in the Gemara in the Maseches Yuma, machlokes between the Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Chatzi shir usher min haTorah. Rabbi Yochanan says, why two possibilities? Why chatzi shir? If I eat a half a kezias of pig, I still get an issa daraisa. I'm not going to get punished, but if I eat half of the shir of Isurim, it's still going to be usher from the Torah. Does it apply to mitzvahs? That's a machlokas achronim. Half a kezias of matzah. Is it significant at all? But half a kezias of Isurim, that's usher min haTorah. That's in the Gemara. So why is that? Either based on exeris akasiv, kol chelev, any type of chelev, even a little bit, or chazi litz tarufei. It is fitting to be added. Right, chazi litz tarufe, it's right to combine with something else. So, some achronim explain, so if I, what do you mean, it's right to combine, and therefore what? And therefore, that itself reflects significance, and therefore, if I eat a half a kezias, I'm giving it significance. And therefore, I'm showing that it's important enough. It's roy. If you have two of these, it's gonna combine, right? Some achronim point out. So maybe there's no chatzi shir when it comes. Big discussion in the achron in the rishonim already. Bal yirabai matzei on Pesach. Is there bal yirabai matzei by a chatzi shir of chametz, a half a kezias? So some say, well, maybe not, because the whole idea of chatzi shir is because ach shevinhu, you did something to show that it's chashuv. But here, by Rabbi Matzah, you didn't. It's just left in your house. Left in your house. So some achronim say that, you know, there's no by Rabbi Matzah, by achatzi shir. And other achronim say, no, that's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara has it by kol chelev, the Gemara has it by chazi l'starufei. Okay, that's one area. But you have two other places, two Rashis. I'll just quote two Rashis, and then we'll continue. Two Rashis where Rashi uses achshavinu. The Mishnah, beginning of the 10th Perek of Shabbos. Perek ha-matzniyah. We know half of Maseches Shabbos is about the malacha of hotzah, of carrying out. And the Gemara lists, the Mishnayos lists off how much wax do you have to carry out to be chayav on Shabbos, and how much metal, and how much wood. It goes through every single material that you could think of. So, says the Mishnah though, what if I myself are matznia lezera? I have a seed. I want to use this seed. The seed is smaller than any shear, minimum shear for hotzah, but I'm going to use this seed. Hamatznia, I put away the seed because it's important to me, this seed. So says the Mishnah, if you are matznia this zera, then if you carry out the zera on Shabbos, you're chayiv. What do you mean? It's smaller than the minimum shiurim. Why is hamatznia lezera vasiyah b'Shabbos chayiv? B'kol shehu, even a tiny amount. Rashi, right there, Shabbos, Sadi of a base. First Rashi of the parak. Hamatznia b'kol shehu, deha achshevei, because you are machshevet. You gave it significance by deciding in your head that you're going to use this tiny seed. That itself gives it significance. So, some achronim say it by chatzi shir. It's not in the Gemara, by chatzi shir. Rashi says it here. One more Rashi, Beitzach of Zayin Mabez. Beitzach of Zayin Mabez. The Gemara there talks about burning kudshim tameim on yantif. Burning a korban that became tamei. So that's a mitzvah. That's a mitzvah. So the question is, Yantif, you're allowed to light a fire. You're allowed to, you know, transfer fire. So Rashi has a lashon there, based on the Gemara. That's Usser. Gzeres HaKasuv. De'ein Kachim Tmeim Esbarim Yantif. Kachim Tmeim are not allowed to be destroyed on Yantif. What do you mean? Why not? It's burning. You're allowed to burn things that are L'shem Mitzvah. Mitoch Shuchel, it's Havar Letzarech, Chuchanami Shalol Letzarech. Says the Rashi, Derachmana Achshevei Lahavarasan. Because the Torah shows significance to its destruction. The Torah says that's what you're supposed to do. The fact that the Torah calls it a mitzvah shows it's chashuv and it's not allowed to be done on Yantif. Hilkach, melachahi. Therefore, it's called a melacha, and therefore it is aser. Again, a big topic relates to a sugya in Maseches Pesachim also. But that's where you see achshevei. So right here, you have achshevei in the Gemara. Once I think in my mind that I'm going to use these fruit for food, not just to plant and then rip out in order to make the rest of the fruit grow better, I was machshevei, I made it into ochel, and therefore I have to take peah from it. That comes up in other contexts as well, but we will leave it for now. Says the kind of chibas hakodesh. Chibas hakodesh, where I'm able to break certain rules by hektish, that also can be based on achshevei. Okay, says the Mishnah. Halacha gibel Mishnah dal. Ha'imo shabutzalim. The mother onions. What are the mother onions? Imo shel betzalim. So the Gemara will have 2 days what they are. But either way, chayeves bepeya Rabbi Yossi poter. Machlokes tanoim, whether you have to give peya from the mother onions. Number one. Number two, malbanos, so that we never had before, but the next point we had something similar in the previous Mishnayos. Malbanos abetzalam shebein ayarek, I have onion patches, and I have vegetables between the onion patches. So, are the onion patches considered separate, a separate payah for each one? So, machlokas, Rabbi Yossi omer payah mikol echad v'echad. Rabbi Yossi says, yeah, payah from each one. As we already discussed this, because it's not normal to have onion, to have vegetables blocking your onion patches. The fact that they're there, it must be you want to separate it. And therefore, you're going to give payah from each and every one. Chacham say no, these onion patches, you take one payah for all of them. Good. What are imo shel betzalim? These mother onions. So machlokes Rav and Shmuel. Rav Amar, purgara. What is purgara? So if you look in the Rash Bishans on Mishnayos, but it's quoted here by the Mara Folda. He says, sometimes you leave onions in the ground, right? Betzalim gedolim, says the Mara Folda. You leave these big onions in the ground for a long time until they become like putrefied and disgusting and basically inedible. But they also, while they're in the ground, they let off these little seeds. And those little seeds produce more onions. That's why you leave in the ground. So what about these mommy onions, right? They produce the seeds. That's why they're called mother onions. So that big onion is semi-edible, semi-not edible. It's what's called ne'echal adei atzchak. It's edible when push comes to shove and there's nothing else to eat and you're starving. So is that chayev and peya? So that's a machlokas tanaim. So we understand that. It's edible, but it's not really edible. It's not called ochel. That's the first of the five requirements for peyah. So that's what it's about. Right? It's ne'achal al yedei hadchak. Right? Where does the word pergara come from? If you look in the Pnei Moshe, he quotes milashon tmura. If you look in one of the translations of, by tmura, the isser of substituting a carbon. Right? If I have carbon A and I want to substitute carbon B, that's asur. And if I try to do it, they're both carbonos. So the pasuk says, lo yamir oso. In Bechukosai. Don't substitute it. And one of the Targumim is, lo yifareg yaseh, don't substitute. So here you're substituting the seeds from the mother onion. Okay, so that's where the Lashon comes from. That's number one. Ushmuel amar tsumachta. Shmuel says, no, tsumachta, for the word semach, to the growths. Sometimes, as we'll see, if you have a lot of onions, you leave sometimes the roots of the onions you leave in the ground. Sometimes they have these little onions that are still stuck on these roots, but it's not, you don't need them because you have plenty of onions and they're a little bit left on the roots, so you leave them in. You have to give payah for those. So those are little onions that are growing, and the Marafolda again says, Umishiesh lo betzalim harbe eino choshish l'kaiman. Right, if you're not interested in keeping them, or just read the previous line. K'sheokren ha-betzalim l'nishar mishar ha-sheyem ba'aretz v'imahem min ha-batzel v'chozer v'tzameach, and it grows. So those are the ones that are under discussion of whether they are chayiv in peah or not. So the Gemara is going to go into now, according to many mefarshim, Shmuel's din. According to Rav, we understand. The pergara, what's the machlokas? Something that is semi-edible, semi-not-edible, so is that going to be chayiv in peah or not? What's the machlokas with Shmuel, though? Right, what's the machlokas? The Shmuel sheet is that what are these mother onions? They're onions that are onions, and they're just like, they're little onions. You're not bothering. They're connected to the roots, which you're going to leave in the ground. So when you figure out your percentage for peah, so you have to take that into account. So Rabbi Yaakov Barbun b'shem Rabbi Chanina. So he says, what are they arguing about? La'amar Rabbi Yosi el mishem hefker. Sometimes hefker is spelled with a vase, right? It's the issue is hefker. Basically, you make these onions ownerless. You don't care about them. You're going to leave them in the ground, so they're basically ownerless. That's what Rabbi Yosi says, that they're putter from peah because the owners don't care, right? The owners don't care. About these. She'ein marafulda. She'ein adam choshashan v'havi lehu kehefker. They're like hefker, and therefore that's the why the Rabbi Yossi says pater. Says the Gemara, that's a grape shot of Rabbi Yossi. But then what would the Rabbanan be holding? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Bun Barchia, boy kumi Rabbi Mana. Rabbi Bun Barchia asked for Rabbi Mana, the hefker chayeb epeah. And what, the Rabbanan hold hefker a chayeb and peah? Meaning, what's the machlokas about? Everybody agrees that hefker is pater. Remember? Back again, that Mishnah on Daf Yud Beis, which we keep going back to. Not only Ochel, but Nishmar. Nishmar is excluding Hefker. It has to be a guarded, or at least the Min has to be guarded, as we said. So that can't be the Machlokas, because what would the Rabbanan say? Right? Everybody agrees that Hefker, something that you don't care about, sometimes it could automatically be Hufkar. Remember that Gemara in the first parak of Psachim? The Gemara talks there about tiny little crumbs in your house. You have to make yourself crazy to find the tiny little crumbs, even without Bittel. Even without Bittel, Beferish. No, you're mafkir tiny little crumbs. You don't care about them. You step on them. So again, that Gemara reflects the fact that if it's something that you don't care about, tiny little pieces, then you're mafkir. Relates to the sugya of Yeush, the relationship between Yeush and Hefker. Maybe we'll touch on that if there's time. But that's the Gemara's question. The Machlokes, Rav Yossi and the Rabbanon, can't be about Hefker because everybody agrees to that. So Amar Lei, Bizacha b'en achas achas. So we rehabilitate this answer. Now, maybe the issue is Hefker, but what are we talking about here? You went back and you took them out of the ground. It's not just like about, as I said before, how much peah do you have to give? How do you determine your 1/60th? Do you have to take those into account that you left in the ground? No, here we're talking about that you went and picked them up. So the question is, if you went and picked them up, so now are you chayef? Right, look at the Marafol. The Klomar, Hoel v'chozer v'zocha b'hen chayev epeah. The Rabbanan say, well, because you went back and were zocha, now you're chayev in peah, based on the Brisa in Meseches Nedarim in the Bavli, where the Bavli says, if you're mafkir, if you make ownerless your vineyard, and the next morning you went and you harvested it again, so you have to, that's your chayev. You can't, fake it. I'm going to be mafker my field, and then I'm not going to give the matanos. No, so the Rabbanan say, if you went and got it back, so you're chayv and peah. And there Rabbi Yossi argues. Rabbi Yossi says, if you're getting it back, Afilu balabaya shachazer bezacha behefker shalo patur ka'acher. Rabbi Yossi says, no, if you are mafker something, he argues on that brisa. If you are mafker something and then you got it back, so it's a new thing. It was hefker, and therefore you're not going to be chayv in peya. So it's a machlokas about a reacquisition of hefker. How do you look at reacquisitions of hefker? That's the machlokas between them. If you look in the Rav Chaim Kanievsky and also the Pnei Moshe, they have a little different formulation. It's not about how you look at the reacquisition of hefker, but do you look at this? If you harvested it, does that show that you weren't really mafker in the first place? Not about you were mafker it and now when you reacquire something, how do you view it? But do you say that if you're reacquiring it, then deep down you weren't really mafker it? Right, goli daite, right, you've just revealed through your actions that your hefker wasn't really a full hefker, right, the language of the Pnei Moshe. Goli daite de lo hefkiran, right, or the Rechai Kanievsky, de me'olan lo hefkiran, right, so that's the, that's an issue, right, and that, if you remember, is also, back to Psachim, the Ran on Daf Aleph in Psachim, where the Ran talks about why you can't just do bittul and just do bedika, right? Why do we have such a three-pronged attack? Bittul, biur, and bedika. What do you need all three for? So the Rishonim discussed. The Ran says, because if you just do bittul, you might not mean it. I'm mevatel, these donuts are meaningless to me. And then after Pesach, I go and pick up the donuts and eat them. Right, so was it really a hefker? Was it really a bittul? Connecting those two. So maybe you didn't mean it. So you have to get it out of your house. You have to be bodek and mevayer, because you know it's hard to objectify those types, and sometimes your later actions will undermine what you did. So that's gali daita here. That's what they would say. Okay, so that's possibility number two. So first we said maybe it's a machlokas about hefker. So we said that can't be. Everybody agrees that hefker is potter from peya. So we said no, it's a machlokas about reacquiring hefker. So now the Gemara says that also can't be, because of a linguistic problem. Because we have a brisa, Vahatani, we have a brisa that quotes the sheet of the Chachamim. The Chachamim are talking to Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi, remember, says, these mother onions, the Moshe B'Tzalim. So Rabbi Yossi says they're putter. The Chachamim say, Afal b'she'inam miskaimos lo b'meruba, miskaimos b'memuad. Fine, if you have a lot of onions, you're going to leave them in the ground. But if you don't have so many onions, you're going to take them. So what do you see from that argument? The issue isn't a hefker argument. You see, from there, the issue is one about whether you're going to keep them. So, have a less taima, ella, we change the gersa to ella, less taima, the reason is ella, must be because, machlisa misha machlisa lakiyam. The machlokis is something about whether you take them and you keep them, and whether you're it's gonna keep for a while. You see from the language of the Rabbanan, that's what the machlokis is about, nothing to do with hefker. So the Rabbanan rejects, the Gemara rejects that previous suggestion, not based on Svara, but based on the language of the Braisa. Okay. Period. Halacha. Dalet. Next Mishnah. Ha'achem shechilku. So here this Mishnah gets us into a couple of Shas and Yanim, but again, as we know in the Yerushalmi's sugyas are shorter than the Bavli's. And therefore, Shutvis comes up here, which we would have three blot in the Bavli about Shutvis, and there we have four lines. So again, they're shorter sugyas. You see already there's another two Mishnayos on the next daf. Okay, so we'll do what we can. Says the Mishnah, Ha'achim Shechilku. So we know every field has a Chiyav Peya, Sadacha. So what if you have brothers that Yarshin, their father, the father died, the brothers have a field, and now the brothers split it up. The brothers split it up. So now the two brothers own separate fields. They split it up before harvesting, before Ksira. So no, it's shtei payas. They have to give two payas because it's each considered their field. Chazru v'deshtatu. What if they decided, you know what, let's keep it as one big field. That's what dad would want. Let's keep it as one big field. And they got together before Ksira. No, it's the payachas. So then it's one paya. That is one paya. Fine. That is the halacha. Shnayim shelachu es ha'ilan. Same thing would apply by a tree. If two people buy a tree, so two people own a tree together, nosa peya achas, you give one peya, because they both own the tree, like if the two people own a field. Lakach zet tzvono vezet dromo. But if, let's say, one person buys the north side of the tree, and one person buys the south side of the tree, so then, zenose peya latzmo, zenose peya latzmo. So then, you give separate payas. you give separate payas for that. Why? Why do you give separate payas? So if you look at the Mikdash David, Mikdash David is a classic with David Rappaport. He was a Rav in Baranovich with Rav Elchanan Wasserman. He was a descendant of Rav Akiva Eger. His father was named Rabbi Akiva Rappaport, named after Rav Akiva Eger. He wrote basically two svarim that we have. He died during in Russia during World War II, in a concentration camp in Russia. So he wrote the Tzemach David, which are notes on the Rav Kiva Eger's Tshuvas, and the Mikdash David. The Mikdash David is, I don't know if we mentioned it yet, he has one on Kachim and one on Zerayim, right? Svarim. So here, the Mikdash David in Simon Samach Beis, he says, you know what, this Mishnah is teaching me a big Chiddush. We learned before, what's Mafsik? What's Mafsik for Peah? So for Yurak, for Tvua, we saw rivers and rocks, and for trees, only a fence. You know what you learn from this Mishnah? Bailus is mafsik. Bailus is mafsik. Different owners. You can be the same tree. The same tree. Different owners, two different payas. That's the chiddush of this Mishnah. That bailus is mafsik. Va'atamu midashem bailim mafsikin lepeya. Da'af to be ilan osein a mafsik ela geder. Shema bailim mafsikin. Af be ilan echad. V'nosin beis payas. And he says, I'll show you this comes up in a totally different area. Totally different area. He quotes a Rambam out of nowhere. He quotes the Rambam in Hilchas Zechiyu Matana, Perek Aleph Halacha Yud Gimel. The Rambam says there, if there's a huge area with a lot of fields, Bika Gadol HaSheish Basodos Rabos, V'kulan Shal Ger Echad, and they're all owned by one convert. They're all owned by one convert, and there's no borders between them. Lo Meitza Lo Chatzav, V'lo Tavar Mamavsikim. And then the Ger dies. What does that mean? Hefker. The ger has no relatives. One person comes and does a kinya chazaka. He digs in one field. All the fields become his. All the fields become his. Because that kinya chazaka works for all the fields. Asks, and he says, Likras is kula, kala nikra al shem oso a ger kona osa. The Rambam says, as long as it was owned by that one ger, you're kona him. So he asked the mafarshim, why, what if it's owned by three gerim and they all died? So they're all hefker. They're all hefker anyway. So what do you care that if it was all owned by one ger and the ger died, or it was five gerim and they all died? It's all hefker now anyway. If I do kinyan chazak on one field, so then I should be kona all the other fields. Says the Mikdash David. What do you see from there? Baila mafsikin. Right? If you have separate owners, that's mafsik. It's keilu you had a fence up between the fields. And therefore he says, Kiva Damrina kala mafsik lepeya mafsik pinichsi ager, v'kiva deshem bailim mafsikin lepeya imkein hachanami mafsikin pinichsi ager, v'ein sham lo meitza lo chatzav lo darma mafsikin, habailim mafsikin. Wow. So we got a yesod from this Mishnah based on the Mikdash David's Ha'ara. Baruch Hashem. Okay, we continue. One more section. Katsar chatzi sade b'shutfis. What if we own a field b'shutfis and I cut it. One of the partners cuts half the field. And then what? So what happens? I cut half the field, so then I don't have to give any payah from that, because I'm leaving payah in the other half of the field. But then what happens? Then we split up the field. I own what I cut, that half, and you own the other half. Guess what? The Gemara says, I have to give zero payah. My chiv of payah has just disappeared. Because when I cut it, it was in the other half of the field. So this field was pater from peah. Now, there is no other half. It's kilu burned up. Kilu burned up. So therefore, I'm totally pater. I'm totally pater. But, eino mafrish, mishelo, he doesn't take peah from his half that he has. Lo betchila, not in the first half, lo basof, but even in the second half. The second half also. In the other half that was sold, the peah is not in there. Why isn't the peah in there? Didn't we learn earlier that if I harvest half my field, then I sell the other half? Then the buyer has to get, I didn't sell that payah? So the Mefarshim explained, the Rashi Elio explains, there it was totally owned by you. You have a chiyav payah. So when you sold it, that chiyav payah doesn't disappear. Here it was partners. I cut half my field, and now I still have my half. Right? Nothing really changed. You have your half that wasn't cut, and now you still have the half. Right? So that's the difference. Got to look at the lumdis, why that would be a difference. It might depend on how you look at shutfis. Do partners own everything together? Do partners only own half? Right, so that's the halacha that it says here. Again, if I harvested half my field, then we split it up, so then there's no chiv of peah on the first half. Only on the second half there's a chiv of peah. Chazru, we skip the next word, vinish tatfu. What after splitting up? Now I put it back together again. We come back together again. V'katsru, chatzi asada b'shutfis, and then what do? We harvest the entire second half of the field. Be'isser, right, we're supposed to leave it a little bit for peah. What happened? I have a whole field, and we have a partnership in the field, and we cut half. Then I give you that half, the other half. We split it. Then we come back together. So now, and we cut the whole field, the isser, the other half. The chilku, and then we split up the produce. Eino is taken out. Mafreshe b'sof al chaveru shebasof. Avalo mishalo b'shebetchila al chaveru shebetchila. What do you do? Still, the pay is only on the second half of the field, on the second half of the field. Because the first half was out. Just because you put everything back together, the first half of the field already had a p'tur. Once it had a p'tur, that p'tur never comes back. The second half of the field had a chiv of peya. I harvested the whole thing, that was usser. So what do we say? If you did an isser, then the chiv of peya goes to the talush, goes to what was cut. So that's why the chiv of peya still remains. But there's no chiv of peya on the first half. You didn't do anything wrong. When you cut the first half of the peya, of the field, there was no chiv of peya. So that's why that chiv does not come back. Okay, we'll have to stop by Omer Rabbi Yochanan. We'll continue with that next time.